Okay, so we left off last week. We were talking about the different methods that are necessary to create a geirus. So we paskin that you require mila utvila. Everyone agrees that you're supposed to have mila utvila. The question is, what's ma'akeh b'diavad? So the question is, I'm of yachra and ogera shim of yitbol. So of course, that's the din in the Torah. You require mila utvila. That's what we spent a lot of time talking about. Mila, we talked a little bit at the end of the shiur about tvila. Again, just to recap the tvila part, it's got to be a kasha tvila. It means hilchas chatzitz has to be clear and hilchas mikvos has to be cleared in order for the tefillah to be work on the level of deraisa. When we speak about a ger requiring mila utefillah, both are necessarily ikuva, there is a major question in the Rishonim whether the order is critical as well. The Gemara always speaks about the order being gimel and then yitbol, which in fact, even chronologically, back to the model that we had last week from Maseches Krisos, in fact, Klal Yisrael first underwent mila, and then later on, right in Matan Torah, they did a tefillah, so the original gerus was done in that order. And Chazal always speak about it being in that order, even to the extent that because we do it in that order, it sometimes delays things. If we would have done tefillah first, we could have done the mila earlier, because when you do mila, you have to wait for the person to recover a little bit, so it's not safe to throw them into the water 10 minutes later. So that's going to push things off a little bit, but the Gemara somehow seems to be stuck on this idea of doing mila dafka and then being followed by tefillah. The question is, why is that? Is that really even true, that the order is absolutely ma'akid? There's a major machlekes in Rishonim. So some Rishonim say the order is not ma'akev. So why do we do it that way? Some Rishonim say that, well, we want to see, is the person really serious? Before we start wasting our time tuggling him, so let's first see whether he wants to have a meal. If he doesn't want to do a meal, so we'll just walk away from it. So it could be it's just a practical consideration, but api halacha doesn't really make much of a difference. As long as the person underwent both processes, that's fine. And other Rishonim get stuck on it and say, no, Chazal speak about it, mila before tefillah, that was the model of Matan Torah, and it has to be that way, even likuva. And if you flip the order, then the whole geirus is going to be batel mevutel, even on love of deraisa. And the question is, why? Based on what consideration? Why should that be so? So there's a machlekes of Rishonim within the machmir. I didn't say we follow the machmirim yet, but within the machmirim, there's a machlekes of Rishonim, what the rationale would be to insist on the order being ma'akid. So some Rishonim, led by the Ritva, in Maseches Yevamos, conjures up the following image. The Ritva says, if you let the person toiva before he does the bris, that's like a bechin of a toiva v'sheretz biyado. You know that if a person is holding on to a dead mouse, and you go into the mikvah at the same time, so the whole tefillah is not chal. The tefillah is not even toifes b'chlal. The person doesn't become tar at all. So the Ritva says that orla is not just orla. Orla is like a psak. A tumah dikadin. So it's almost like you're going into be toivel. You're trying to become tar to enter the Klal Yisrael, and you're holding on to the tumas arlas. Tumas arlas is the antithesis of the tefillah of Yisrael. So that's gonna affect the tefillah. The tefillah didn't take place. So even though you subsequently go ahead and you cut off the orla, but now you still have to go back to the mikvah, because any tefillah that was done in the state of physically being an orel is lomal of lomayrit. That's the Ritva's marshal, the Tov v'sheretz biyadon. Now, it's a very big jump to apply Tov v'sheretz biyadon there, because the principle of Tov v'sheretz biyadon is usually found in Ilchas Tumah v'Tahara. When you're dealing with the tefillah that's for the purpose of Tumah v'Tahara, then we have this notion of Tov v'sheretz biyadon. Tefillah's geirus is not tumah v'tahara. The person is not tameh. There's no goy is not mekabel tumah altogether. The whole thing is not tumah v'tahara. So it's a big chiddush to apply the principle of tov v'sheretz biyado in a situation where it's not even relevant to the parsha of tahara b'mikvah in the classic sense of the word. It's a little bit of a mashlama d'vadoyme. I don't remember this hechsher kelim, tefillah's kelim is now part of your day, right? It's not a separate part of my favorite. Okay. So there's a din in tefillah's kelim. So the Gemara describes in the end of Maseches Avodah Zarah, when you buy kelim from goyim, if they were used already, so you have to do two things. You have to kash the kelim and you have to be tevel the kelim. So the Rishonim, they have identical machlekes. The same in Hilchos Geirus, they have a machlekes. They have a similar machlekes in Hilchos Kasher and Kelim, because the order has to be in that way as well. You have to first kash the kli, and then you tevel the kli. Well, you can do tevel first. First, if it's convenient for me to bring it to the mikvah first, I'll bring it to the mikvah first. They're not kasher and kelim until next week in Shul anyway, before Pesach. And then I'll kasher it afterwards. What's the big deal? So many of the Rishonim say, you talk all right, what's the big deal? Who cares? And the Rashbam says, no, it has to be in that order. Why does it have to be in that order? So again, the Rishonim use the term Tevel v'sheretz biyadoi. You have treifas inside the walls of the kli, so that's like a dover hatomei. That's like a dover ha'asar. So that dover ha'asar prevents the tefillah from being chal. So you have to kasha the kli first before you can tevel the kli. So that's also the same type of an idea that we're invoking the principle of Tevel v'sheretz biyadoi, even though we're not really talking about a tara in the classic sense of the word. Anytime you have a tefillah b'mikvah, any shape or form, it has to have ready. You have to first solve the negatives before you can enter into the Meham Mikvah. The Rabbi Hilchos Tshuva quotes that Marshall also, Tavu Shas Biyavda. The Rambam writes that if a person is doing tshuva, but as he's doing tshuva, he's still being chayte. It's a Yom Kippur in the afternoon. He's clapping al chayt, you know, al chayt of the Lashon Hara. And as he's saying that, he turns around to the guy next to him and says, the chazan is off key. He's saying, as he's being chayte, you know. So the Rambam writes, the Rambam uses that melitza. He says, it's like Tavu Shas Biyavda. I only one time in my life I got a shot of Tavu Shas Biyavda. Real Tavu Shas Biyavda. A woman called me frantic from the mikveh, that in the mikveh there was a frog. So she wanted to, I don't mean walking around, I mean in the water. There's mom's a frog flying around, you know, swimming around, not flying around, inside the water of the mikveh. So she, I don't think she was able to formulate, I don't think she was able to formulate anything except for screaming in hysteria. But her basic shaila she was trying to present was, does the frog disqualify the mikveh? So I told her that there are three reasons why the frog doesn't disqualify the mikveh. So one reason is because nothing can disqualify mikvah, because I mean, basically disqualify mikvah. We're saying a duffer tame can't disqualify mikvah. That's exactly what the Torah says, that if a sheretz falls into the mea mikvah, it still remains tar. That's what the Chassam Sofer writes, that's ultimately the reason why the mikvah is matahir, because the mikvah is the only thing that's not subject to it. It's the only kind of water that can't become tame. How can you have something that could become tame be matahir you? So it's the property of inability to become tame, that's the matahir. So I said, number one, don't worry about it. The mikvah is still okay. Number two, a frog happens not to be from the Shemana Shratzim. It's the Tzvardeh. It's the thing that gets mixed up with the Shemana Shratzim. And the third, which made, I'm not sure I made it feel so good, the frog happened to have been alive. It wasn't dead anyway, so that didn't make it more comfortable, but that made less of a problem. It's not Mekabatuma, even if it would have been a dead mouse. Fine, it would have been a live mouse. Anyway, getting back to the story. So some Rishonim say, the Ritva says, it's a problem because there's a Tov Asher to the other. So other Rishonim came to the same conclusion as the Ritva of Alav Mikameh. So the Rashban Yevamos didn't like that model of Tov Asher to the other. He thought that this is not Tumah V'Tahara, this is not Shaykh to Tov Asher to the other. But the Rashba thought there's another reason why the Rashba was before the Ritva. But he had access to this reason also. And he thought the reason is not the right reason. He thought there's an emissary reason why the order has to be kept intact. So the Rashba said, because whenever you have two different parts of a chalais, you have to always ask yourself which is the real part and which is kind of, you know, the sideshow. Didn't we just talk about this? Last week, right? We talked about it a little bit last week, didn't we?
We talked about
Kedushin. I don't remember. It's been one long week. Okay. So whenever you have two different parts of a chalais, you have to always ask yourself what's the makma patish, what's the real thing, and what's just kind of there, you know, to help things along. So when a person becomes Jewish, to milu tvila, what's the real machlas of Kedushin Yisrael? Is it the Mila, or is it the Tvila, or is it both? So the Rashba says he thinks the Emesa Machlas of Kedushas Yisrael is the Tvila. A good raya is, that's how we become Jewish. There's only one method of becoming Nichlas of Kedushas Yisrael. The method is, Aydei Tvila B'mikvah, that's how you become Tachas Kanfei Hashchina. It happens to be for a man, we can't discuss being Nichlas Tachas Kanfei Hashchina just with Tvila. You have to have the mechanism of Mila also. But the real Gemeris Ageiris has to be the Tvila. So says the Rashba, the Gomer HaSageirus has to be the Gomer HaSageirus. It's got to be the real thing. It's got to be the last point. If you're going to do the Tevila first, and the Halacha says, by the way, Eino Geyashim of Yitvo, so it turns out that the Tevila, when it tried to accomplish the Nichtas, the Kedusha, wasn't Chal. So it's not going to be Chal later. It's not like a Kinyan, the Achalamet. The Tevila has to be Chal, Bishas Maisa. So Kol Zman, that you haven't finished the process, if you didn't precede it with the Mila, so then the Tevila is trying to be Gomer the Geirus and it's not being effective. If it's not being effective, it's not being effective, and the whole thing is Batel Mavuto. So whereas according to the Ritva, the problem of Mila, why Mila must precede Tevila, is because otherwise you have an Iko of Min Hatzad called Tov V'Sheretz B'Yadai. According to the Rashba, that's not really the problem. The real problem is that you have to have Tevila being the Gmar, the Machme Patish. And if there's something else, that the Mila can't be the Machme Patish, so the Mila of the order has to be intact. So the Ramban, who was the Rabbeim of the Rabbeim of the Rabbeim of all these Rishonim, pre-Rashba, pre-Ritva, thought the whole thing wasn't true. So the whole din is not true. That you can reverse the order if you want. If you want to do the Mila, Tvila, Mila, it's all going to be good. But yeah, everything's going to be okay. Neither of these svaras are compelling in the understanding of the Ramban. Comes the Ramban and says, I'll bring you a Raya, that I'm correct, says the Ramban. That doesn't bother us if the Tevila precedes the Mila. Says the Ramban, every once in a while you have a Geirus that does it this way. When do you have a gerus happen this way? It's a Gemara in Maseches Yevamot called Muberish and his Gaira. We're going to talk about that a lot more later on. We'll talk about Gerkotan. But Muberish and his Gaira is you have a woman who's pregnant, a non-Jewish woman who's pregnant, and she wants to become a Gaira. She wants to become Jewish. So the halacha says Beferish, the Muberish and his Gaira, but not in Tzorech Tevila, that when she goes into the water, so she comes out, so there's no need to, when this baby is born, there's no need to be tevil the baby. But not in Tzorech Tevila. Why is that? How does that work? So the Gemara says, that's how that works. So the Gemara calls one opinion that says, that's based on Uber Yerech Imo. That a person is made up of a lot of different organs, a lot of different limbs. Let's say when a goy converts, so the entire body becomes Jewish. The arms, the legs, the stomach, the kishka, everything becomes Jewish together. So you hold that Uber Yerech Imo, what that means is that she has another limb. The other limb is the fetus, so it's part of her gerus. So the fetus becomes Jewish together with her body. What if you hold Uber Lav Yerech Imo? Chalik is in the Gemara, Chalik is Rishonim, how we pass it, whether Uba Yerchim or Lav Yerchimo. The Gemara says, if you hold Uba Lav Yerchimo, how does the gerus work? The Gemara says, no problem, it still works. It works because the baby is under the water. Because if you think about it, when the mother goes under the water, so her stomach goes under the water, so the baby is under the water level, so the baby was tevelus and was tevel in the mikvah. So the Gemara says, wait a second, how does that work? Isn't that an unbelievable problem of chatzitza? Hinuch chatzitza gedolah mizeh. We get nervous in the mikvah when it comes with a half a piece of nail polish or something. She's got to take off a bandage or something. We go with bananas. Here, the entire baby is covered from head to toe with the mother's body. Why isn't that considered to be a chatzitza? So the Gemara says, well, maybe it's not a chatzitza min haTorah, because remember we said last week, in order to be a chatzitza min haTorah, it has to be a davar hamakpid. And here, the baby's not really makpid of being inside the mother. If you would knock on the baby's, knock on, and ask inside, and that's sounding grim, you do. Ask the baby, would you like to come out, or are you happy where you are? The baby says, I'm very happy. I'm only 20 weeks, I'm not going anywhere. So I'm learning a lot of Torah, I got a lot more shirim to hear from the Malachim. I said, watch, I should come out and sit in an incubator for the next 2 months. So I'll be more than happy to hang around. So the baby's more than happy to stay inside the mother. So it's tach a davish eino makpid. So if it's a davish and a makpid, maybe it's not a chatzitza. So the Gemara says, no. That klal of makpid is only true when you're dealing with a rove. But if you have a kulo, if you have a chatzitza of a kulo from head to toe, even if it's not makpid, that's a chatzitza deraisa. Again, all of the chatzitzas are halacha mashem sinai. The Gemara says mechitza shirin, chatzitza mechitza is halacha mashem sinai. So it's all chayk, all chukim, all gezeiros hakasa. All din nimtzus in a meisher benu. When you have a complete chatzitza from head to toe, that's ein lecha chatzitza gedola mizel. So the Gemara goes back to square one. So then, how can we justify this geiros? If you hold uber yerech imo, so then the geiros is based on uber yerech imo. But if you deny uber yerech imo, how in the world can we accept such a geiros? How is that going to be an acceptable tefillah? Isn't there a chatzitza? Ein lecha chatzitza gedola mizel. It's a chatzitza bekula. So the Gemara works and works and works. And finally, the Gemara says, no, this is not a chatzitza because haina revi sayu. Because this is the natural way of things. Chatzitza means I'm not supposed to have a bandage on. I'm not supposed to have contact lenses on. I'm not supposed to have a ring on. Those are artificial things. Rav Hashem didn't create me in that way. I decided me to put on contact lenses, to put on a ring, to put on a bandage, to put on a bathing suit. Those are for chatzitzim. But here, Hanan Rav Yisayah, Rav Hashem said, this is the derech hagidol. This is how people grow. Babies grow inside mothers' bodies. So that's considered to be totally natural. That's not considered to be a chatzitza altogether. Hanan Rav Yisayah. So when all the dust settles, the Gemara says that the geirus of the uber works in a term. There's no shaila that to this din. Everyone agreed to this din. And Rabbi Yechon, Mubesh, Hizgai, Brunz, Yechtvila. We're not sure why it works. We're not sure is it based on Hilchas uber Yechimo, or is it based on uber Lav Yechimo. It's based on an independent Tvila. There was a couple that was driving over the bridge, and just a couple in the car, and the wife was pregnant. And they were stopped by they were in the carpool lane. It's nice to show you. They were stopped by the cop and given a ticket, and they went to court to fight it because they said that the woman was pregnant, and we have rights to life. We believe that the baby is alive already, and it's considered a third person in the vehicle. They lost. So it's a machlekes there been a time in the re, whether they should have lost or not, whether you're fasking or be the judge, unfortunately, wasn't interested in the Taisus. Okay, anyway. So come to
it's not about royal abortion. It's not a factor when it comes to the fetus at all.
What do you mean? It's not a chatzitza. Pete, it's not a chatzitza. I was once years ago. I used to teach in Stern some halacha shirim. So I was talking about something late. I found myself quoting this gemara in the context of something. So I was telling over about how it's not considered to be a chatzitza. So one of the girls raised her hand and asked me a question. And it took me a few minutes till I understood where she was coming from. She thought what I meant was is that the reason why the tefillah is good is because there's a din hochos mikvos. When you have a kosher mikvah and a pasul mikvah, they're connected to a flow of water, so there's a certain din of chibur mikvos, and the pasul mikvah becomes a kosher mikvah also. So she thought what I was saying was is that the baby's inside the mother's stomach, it's surrounded by water, by the amniotic fluid. So the amniotic fluid is mechubur to the meha mikvah, so it's as if the baby's in the mikvah. That's not what I said. I didn't say that at all. My little knowledge of biology is that if that amniotic fluid is mechubur to the meha mikvah, that means that the plug has already opened up and she should not be in the mikvah. She should be in the way to the hospital, right? So that wasn't the pshat. Okay. Anyway, creative pshat, but not the correct pshat. Okay, anyway, get back to the story. So comes the Ramban and says that let's walk through this now and figure out what just happened in this Muberish and his Gaira. So you have Muberish and his Gaira, she went to the mikvah, and we declared that the tefillah was chal on the baby also. What if this baby is a boy when it's born? Does this baby require a bris? I mean, it definitely needs a bris al tefillah Yisrael. Does it need a bris al geirus? Did you make a bracha almost a geirus on this baby? Does he need a bris or not? So the Ramban says, of course he needs a bris. The Ramban says, if Avi needs a bris, if he's a boy, so then he has to, he's only nifas and kedusha Yisrael, but tefillah umila. So he was yaitzeh the tefillah beforehand, but he still needs a mila. So the Ramban says, well, it depends. If you hold uber yerach imo, so then he's already Jewish. He already converted as part of the mother. The same way the mother's kidney converted, so the mother's fetus converted, so the full geirus was chal already on the baby as part of the mother's body, so then he doesn't need a milas geirus, he needs a milas Yisrael. But if you hold uber lav yerach imo, so then he wasn't part of the mother's body, he was a separate independent tevilah, so good, beautiful, he had an independent tevilah, and now he needs a mila. After he's born, he's going to require a milas shim geirus. And without the Milashim Geirus, he's not going to be Jewish Bechlal. So the Ramban says, if you think about it chronologically, what just happened? The Tefillah just preceded the Milah. The Tefillah is done in utero. The Milah is done after the baby's born. That's a Tefillah's Geirus, followed by a Milah's Geirus, which is exactly what the Rashi of Devos says. They're not options. Bein Lefer Rashi, Bein Lefer Devos, that's not going to work with their Aisa. So says the Ramban, you see from this din Uberishin is Gaira, at least according to the Mandiyom Ubalav Yechimai, you see that Tevila can precede Mila. There's nothing wrong with Tevila preceding Mila. That was the Ramban's Raya. So how would the other Rishonim reflect that Raya? How would they reject that Raya? So the Ra'ah, who was a Rebbe of the Ritva, so the Ra'ah says it's not a Raya Bechlal. The Ra'ah says that even if you hold that Ubalav Yechimo, the baby's Gairus was completed with the Tevila. Why was the baby's geirus completed with the tefillah? Because apidin, the in utero, the baby's like in a keva. Remember we started out with geirus last week, we said a man needs two parts of geirus and a woman only needs one part of geirus. Sometimes you can have a situation where a man, he may be biologically a man, you know, according to his genes he's a man, but apidin he's considered to be like in a keva. Like Lamasha, we spoke last week about a person who has hemophiliac. So we said that he's still a man and you have to do a meal on him. If you can't, you can't, so he can't become Jewish. But the Rishonim write, what if you have a man who's nichras agid? He doesn't have a gid anymore. Not that he had a meal. He doesn't have that origin, doesn't exist anymore. So even though biologically he still has all the genes of a man, so that person is going to be nichras tachas kan veshchin, but tefillah alone. So you can have a person who's biologically a man, but halachically is considered to be almost like a female for the purposes of geirus. So the Ra'ah says, a baby in utero, a pidin is a female. I don't care what the sonogram says. Because a sonogram could show he's a man from today to tomorrow. How in the world do you do a mila on this person? When you have a situation where it's physically impossible to do a mila because either there's no gid or because the gid is inside the body of the mother, you can't do a surgery on him. The Ra'ah wasn't talking about in utero surgeries. Maybe everything changes to his banazah. But according to the way Chazal was looking at the world, that when you have a baby in utero, you can't do anything to him. You can't do a mila on him. So a pidin is considered to be in a keva. Says there are. Once he's in a keva, then the geirus is nishlama with a tevila, and the mila that's going to be done when the baby's born is going to be a milas Yisrael, not a milas geirus. That's a big machlokes. We'll talk about this a little bit more when we get to the uberish and the geirus part of the Gekotlin story a few weeks down the line. These are real shaylas. This is halacha l'maaseh shaylas. When you have a uberish and the geirus, when the baby's born, what are you doing? Are you doing a milas Yisrael, milas geirus? Nafkamina, is it on the 8 days? Is it the Chashabas or Brach you make? Do you need a Beis Din? There are a lot of real live nafkamina ladina that emanate from this machlokes. But I call upon him, the Ra'ah deflected the Raya of the Ramban. So when all the dust settles, we're still not sure what the din is. Can you flip the order of a geirus? So the Rashba and the Ritva, each one suggested svaras why you can't. The Ramban said none of the svaras are correct. The Ramban had a Raya and the Ra'ah rejected the Raya. So when all the dust settles, what is the din? So Shulchan Aruch quotes two opinions. Shulchan Aruch quotes Yeshom and this, Yeshom and that. If you flip the order of the geirus, you did the tefillah for the Mila, we're not sure that he's Jewish. We're not sure he's not Jewish, but we're not sure that he is Jewish either. So therefore, we would really not want to do such a geirus. That would be a very, very silly thing to do such a geirus. You're going to create a suffix Yisrael, suffix goy. That's the worst situation you have. Besides what you do with on Shabbos and Hamor, Tzitzis, Rishis, Aram, all kind of crazy things. That's the worst position you want to be in. So no one ever is in the right mind going to do a geirus and flip the order in deference to the Rashba and the Ritva. We're never going to do such a thing. So one time, I had the Shaila. It was a crazy, wild Shaila. I was a kid at the time. I was a kid in the 20s. I was in the learning one night in the YBS Medrash. This goes back to, probably any of you guys, maybe Mr. Alto remember. The YBS Medrash looked like 30-plus years ago. But I don't remember Stein. We'll even remember the payphones? You still remember Valkyrie. It hasn't been that long, 20 years. So there used to, what? Yeah, there used to be two payphones. I'll ask you a trivia. What was the phone numbers? That's a tough one, right? Okay. Yeah, these were pay phones by the Beis Medrash. So one time I was walking past the payphone and the phone rang. Picked it up. A phone call. We need some halachic guidance. We're calling from Peru. I figured they called the payphone the Beis Medrash. Good address to call. Calling from Peru. We have about 70 gerusim that are taking place right now. There was apparently a whole community that was unclear exactly what their status was, and they all wanted to move to Eretz Yisrael, and the Rabbanut wanted them all to have the gears before they came, before they got lost in there. It's a whole story. So we have all these very, very sincere people being Magai, all kind of sfeikas, Israeli Jew, they're being Magai of them. And the Shaila was as follows. We have to do the Tvila before the Mila. Why do we have to do the Tvila before the Mila? Because there's a cholera epidemic where we are, and we were told that if we do the Mila first, it's going to be too dangerous. It's going to be too dangerous, and we're not hanging around here long enough till this is over. We want to get out of here as fast as possible. So somebody suggested we do the Tvila first, the Mila next, and then we're all out of here. So that was the Shaila that was presented. Do we have a right to do a Tvila before the Mila? So I said, you know, in my humble opinion, standing outside the bathroom in the payphone of the YB's Medish, I don't know whether I'm the right person to be answering the Shaila for 70 members of Klal Yisrael, but it is 2 days in Shulchan Aruch, and the post do say that we really try not to do this, so maybe we should call somebody else. I don't know who they called, but I hope they didn't do it that way, else we have 70 people floating around who may or may not be Jewish. So Lamaisa, we would never do such a gerus under these circumstances, but there are Rishonim who would hold, the Ramban would have accepted such a gerus. Okay, good. So again, so we require Mila, we require Tefila, and they're both Ma'akev, and the order may not be Ma'akev. Those are, in a certain sense, the easy part of Geirus. Up to now, this is the cinch. Mila, Tefila, those are the easy parts of Geirus. Now we move into the part of Geirus that inevitably is going to make it or break it. 95% of the controversial issues that come in Geirus today revolve around the third part of Geirus, and that's Kabbalah HaMitzvahs. So the Gemara speaks about Kabbalah HaMitzvahs in a few places, a little bit of Maseches Yevamos that the Gemara talks about. The Gemara talks about a little bit more in the Maseches Bechoros of all places that happens to come up again. The Gemara talks about Kabbalah HaMitzvahs, that a person converts, they have to be Kabbalah HaMitzvahs. And we could also ask the same question that the Gemara raised last week, Menorah Mila, where does that come from? The Gemara says, how do you know you have to do Mila? So the Gemara quoted a Pasuk. How do you know you need Tefillah? Pasuk. How do you know Korban? Pasuk. Every part of Geirus has to have a Pasuk to it. Geirus is not just Tam, no Dinim in the Rabban, it's all Dinim in the Raisa. So there have to be some real heavy source that teaches us each process along the way. So Menorah Mila, that you need Kabbalah HaMitzvahs. So strangely enough, the Gemara in Krisus doesn't raise the question. The Gemara never asks Menorah Mila, that you need Kabbalah HaMitzvahs. Why doesn't the Gemara ask that question? So there seem to be different opinions in the Rishonim why the Gemara doesn't ask that question. So it could be that some Rishonim would answer, they don't say this explicitly, but the simplest answer is that it's such a dumb pashut, you don't even need a pasuk to prove it. I need a pasuk, I need a Gemara to ask Menorah Mila, that you need Mila, because when you read Parshas Yisro, and you're reading about the original Geirus of Matan Torah, it doesn't say Mila in there. It only says Mila back in Parshas Bo, Kalor LeYochabo, which leads me to believe that it's a din of Geirus also. Again, from the Tosh Luchsav, I couldn't figure it out. I would have thought, maybe that's a din for Korban Pesach, maybe that's not a din for Geirus. The Tevila was far from the Feirush in the Pasuk. Tevila was either from the Chibsu Simla Seichem, which we're not even sure that's the Makor. Maybe it's Enazobel Tevila, we're not even sure what that's the Makor. We couldn't even put our fingers on exactly what the Makor was last week. Kabbalah HaMitzvahs, I need a Pasuk, I need a Gemara to tell me that you can't become Jewish without the Kabbalah HaMitzvahs. What do you think Klai Yisrael did at Har Sinai? Nasa V'nishma. The whole first day, 6 days of Chodesh Sivan, the Moshe is coming to Moshe Ben and saying, tell Klai Yisrael, Visa Miskula, are you Makabel? Shabbat Tishbu Makoli, are you Makabel? But Yosha Moshe is Divram Hashem. Klai Yisrael said, yes, we are Makabel. And the Moshe again, Nochamo, are you really Makabel? Because some of the Vesyankav, some of the Vesyankav, everyone's really Makabel? Yeah, we're Makabel. Kol shediba shem nasa. And then the Torah says it again, nasa v'nishma. 20 times the Torah says, they're makabal makabal makabal. So, of course you need kabbalah mitzvahs. If the whole thing is patterned after Matan Torah, that's the only part of kabbalah, that's the only part of kabbalah's gevurah, that's partial in the psukim. So if you take a look at the Rambam, when he crosses the name of Geirus, you don't get that impression from the Rambam. You get the impression from the Rambam that the source for Kabbalah Mitzvahs is something totally different. The Rambam, when he formulates Geirus, he writes as follows. He almost gives you a little bit of Akadoma. The Rambam writes, when you have, I don't have the exact Lashon Rami, but I don't know, actually you don't have. The Rambam has a lashon in Halacha Perek Gimel Halacha Dala. The Rambam writes, "Chen l'doyrus, kishayirta ha'akum likanes lebris, ulistofef tachas kanfei hashchina, v'yakabel of ol Torah, tzorich milu tvi levartzos karbon." So the Rambam didn't get to the magic word tzorich until the end of the sentence. Tzorich means this is what he has to do. He has to go through process A, B, and C. Mila, Tefillah, Korban. And the Rambam tells you, how do you know Mila? He says, Mila, Haisa, Mitzrayim. How do you know Tefillah? How do you know Korban, etc.? All the things. Fine. But the Rambam, when he spoke about Kabbalah and Mitzvah, didn't say Tzorech Hagir, Lekaval of Ola Torah. The Rambam put that before the word Tzorech as describing what he's doing. The Gir is coming to us and saying as follows. Kishiyirtzeh Akum Mikanis Lebris. He tells us, I want to be part of the Bris. I want to be under the Kanfei Shechina, be Kabbalah of Torah, I want to be in the Kabbalah Torah. If and when all of that happens, then and only then we can begin to discuss and negotiate and undergo the processes of Mila Tefillah V'Korban. The pashas of the Rambam is that Kabbalah Mitzvahs is radically different than Mila Tefillah V'Korban. Mila Tefillah V'Korban are the processes of Geirus. Kabbalah Mitzvahs is the very definition of Geirus. Kabbalah Mitzvahs means I want to know, I want to become Jewish. What do those words mean, you want to become Jewish? Becoming Jewish is translated to mean you're nichas lebris, you're part of the nation, you're part of this new covenant with the Rebbeinu Shalom, you're tachas kanfei hashchina, and you're mekabel mitzvahs. It's inconceivable that a person will say, I want to be Jewish, but I don't want to keep mitzvahs. That's a non-starter. It doesn't make any sense. Now, you can have a person who is Jewish, but not doing mitzvahs. If he was born Jewish, so we saw after Shechat Yisrael, you don't lose your Kedush Yisrael because you violate Averis. But if you want to know what defines becoming Jewish means, of course, I'm going to be mekabel to do mitzvahs. The only reason why some people would like to be startled by this Rambam is because we live in a world post-Napoleon. We live in a world of emancipation. Up until a certain point in history, it was understood that the definition of being Jewish means Yeshua Torah Mitzvahs. It doesn't mean everyone was the greatest tzaddik under the sun. It's true, there were people in all generations that weren't so from. Not everybody was, fiddler on the roof, not everyone was, tradition. There were people all the time who were doing things that weren't right. But either you were with us or against us. Either you were part of Klai Yisrael or you weren't part of it. If a person was legitimately not sure of Torah Mitzvahs, so then he wasn't really part of being Jewish. There was no such thing as being part of the Jewish community. So what happened? So he left the Jewish community. He intermarries and assimilates, and eventually his children, and down the line, he loses, becomes a loss to Klai Yisrael. The notion of having someone who is that I'm Jewish, but I'm not sure of Torah Mitzvahs, you could be halachically Jewish, but that I'm a quote-unquote a good Jew. That's like a very secular phrase. It's a very modern, secular, 21st century phrase. He's a very good Jew. He's not a Shomer Shabbos, doesn't eat kosher, doesn't do any mitzvahs, but I'm filled never doubt. But he's a very good Jew. He could be a very good person. He could be a tinuk shenishba. He has a good heart, and he really would like to do the right thing, and the Rosh will judge him favorably because he doesn't know otherwise. But that's not called being a good Jew. We like to call him that when we honor him for dinner or something. He's a good Jew, even though he's not sure. That's a meaningless statement. Being a Jew means, by definition, to be Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. So that's what the Rambam is saying, that for a guy to come forth to us and say, I want to be Jewish, but I don't want to keep mitzvahs, that's a non-starter. That's not Geirus. That's not the Parsha Geirus. That's a different thing. That's having a circumcision and taking a dip in a pool. That's not called Geirus. Geirus, by definition, means Kabbalah and Mitzvahs. That's why the Rambam held, you don't need a mocher for that. I don't need a pasuk for that. That's the AB, that's the definition of what it means to become his guy. So whether you like the first pshat, that Kabbalah Mitzvahs is a process and we need a makor and the source is probably Nasa V'Nishma, whether you like the Rambam's understanding that it's the definition of Geirus, at the end of the day you need it. At the end of the day it's necessary, and it's double pshat that it's Mamash Ma'akir, that without Kabbalah Mitzvahs it's not going to be an acceptable Geirus. There is a line in the Rambam that some people have taken a little bit out of context. There's a line in the Rambam where the Rambam describes a certain part of the process of geirus that perhaps is not ma'akev, and that's what's called hadasa mitzvahs. The Gemara tells us in the Masechet Yevamos that when a person converts, so we're supposed to first dissuade them. The first thing we should do is, when it comes to us, we should give a whole speech why it's not a good idea to become Jewish. So tell them that there's a lot of anti-Semitism, persecutions, why would you ever want to become Jewish? I had the opportunity to fulfill that halacha one time in my life. I was on, it was back quite some time, I was on the A train, and somebody sits down next to me on 125th Street. And when somebody sits next to you on 125th Street, that's a bad sign, because you know you're stuck with them until 59th Street. They sit down next to me, and they give you a whole speech as to why they're in the process of becoming Jewish. They're very excited, they're converting, and showing. So I said, okay. And I asked them, why do you want to convert? I said, happened to have been, it was the Gulf War. It was the first Gulf War. That happened in 1990. Was it back in 1990? So I said to them, you have to think twice whether you really want to. I said, we have to really, really be convinced you want to become Jewish. I said, it's a very strange world we live in. I said, Kuwait and Iraq are having a fight. Two countries having a fight. And who's getting killed? Who's getting missiles thrown at them? The Jews. I said, that's what happened throughout Jewish history. We're always getting destroyed. We're always getting fought against. We're all getting attacked. So I said, maybe you should rethink about whether you want to become Jewish. So that's the first line the Gemara says, that they're supposed to tell them, they're trying to kill us. So the person said, right out of the Gemara in Yevamos, said, Afa Pichain. Then the Ger says, no, I still want to become Jewish. That's what they said. The person said to me, this is my destiny, that I will have to become part of the Jewish people. So the good part was that we reached 59th Street. So I said, my destiny is I got to switch trains. I didn't really, but at that point I did, and left them left their own. Okay. Anyway, get back to the story. So the Gemara describes that when you convince the person not to become Jewish, when you try, if they remain sincere, then you have to start to tell them a little bit about mitzvahs. You have to give them dos mitzvahs. It doesn't mean you're going to teach them every single sivkot in the Mishnah Berurah, but you have to tell them a little bit. You have to tell them Shabbos, Kashrus, tell them mitzvahs kalas, mitzvahs chamurus. You have to give them a little bit of a smattering of what being Jewish is all about. So that's what's called hadasa mitzvahs. So the Rambam writes that what if Beis Din forgot to do that? Beis Din was careless. They forgot to do hadasa mitzvahs. They didn't tell the guy anything. So the Rambam writes, b'di'evad, the gerus is still chal. How is the gerus still chal without hadasa mitzvahs? So that's what the Teshuva quotes from the Chem de Shlomo. That what the Rambam means is as follows, that Avad, the person was makabel mitzvahs. He just didn't know what he was makabel. Means I didn't tell him Shabbos kashrus, but he was honest and sincere in what he was makabel. He said, "I'm makabel. Whatever it means to be Jewish, I really want to do. I'm gonna at some point I'll go off to yeshiva. I'll learn what it means to be Jewish. You don't tell me anything. Beis Din, the Beis Din goof. They forgot to tell him anything. But he was makabel b'lev shalem. So the Beis Din was negligent. They didn't fulfill the proper protocol of hadasa mitzvahs. But b'di'evad, the person is still Jewish because hadasa mitzvahs is not me'akid. But kabbalah mitzvahs." Both the mitzvah, you're not makabel mitzvahs. How can you say it's not good? The Rambam says that that's part of the nichas l'bris. How can you have a geirus without kabbalas mitzvahs? That's how we assume halacha like this chiluk. But Moshe writes this way, and a few tshuvas that double pasher of Chai. Moshe writes this way. This is nimnu v'gam all the gedalia poskim that kabbalas mitzvahs is absolutely an absolute integral part of geirus. So we're not going to entertain a geirus without a proper mitzvahs. The question that we're going to have is: at what point do we say something does qualify as kabbalas mitzvahs? At what point do we say that it's not an acceptable level of kabbalas mitzvahs? Kabbalas mitzvahs is probably the hardest thing to define in Chus Geiris, because Mila, either it was done or wasn't done. Tefillah, either it was a kashmik or wasn't kashmik. You went and you didn't go in. Kabbalas mitzvahs is very, very subjective. You have to figure out, was the person really mekabel? Is this called a kabbalah? Not called a kabbalah. How do you define? How do you determine whether it's a kabbalah or not? So there is a Gemara Maseches Bechairus, where the Gemara is not even really talking about Geirus. It quotes a Braisa about Geirus, almost in the context of something totally different. But the Gemara quotes a Braisa that says that a Geir Shabbal is Gaia. If a person comes to be Megaia and he starts making stories with us, starts to say, I want to be Jewish, Chutzpi Dabar Echad. I like this religion, but I want to wear Shanas. I like this religion, but I'm not going to have to work on Yom Tov. He starts giving us conditions in Pinoy and in Shiurim as to what he will do and what he won't do. So the Gemara says, if a ger comes and he says, Chutz b'dav rechad, so ain't makabel nesai. So we're not makabel. We're not negotiating. It's not let's make a deal. We're either you're with us or you're not with us. So the Gemara says, b'feirish ain't makabel nesai. So the Acharonim of Ishaila, what exactly does that mean? So that Lashon ain't makabel nesai is a power of a Lashon. Some Acharonim write that ain't makabel nesai is a Lashon l'chadchila, namely that Beis Din shouldn't be makabel such a ger, because when you're makabel a guy, you're going to be makabel a guy, and then he's going to tell us stories after he's Jewish. If the ger is chal, after he's Jewish, he's not allowed to work on Yom Tov. if he's Jewish, he's not allowed to wear shatnez, but he just told us he's going to, so we're creating a situation where we're creating Bali Avera. What do you mean Bali Avera? We have enough of our own, but who knew Bali Avera to enter into Klal Yisrael? So ain't Makabel himself, don't be foolish and don't be Makabelin. But b'diyevet, if you want Makabel, so some of them write b'diyevet the Gerus is Chal. Aye, there's no Kabbalah some mitzvahs. What's the answer? No, Kabbalah some mitzvahs doesn't have to mean every single mitzvah. Kabbalah some mitzvahs means I'm b'ikaron, I'm accepting mitzvahs. Chutz b'devarecha, here and there, it's not a good thing. It's the wrong protocol. But b'diyevet, after the fact, so then the person is Jewish. And apparently chutz b'devarecha would qualify as a valid Kabbalah some mitzvahs, at least b'diyevet. That's what some of them write. Another Rechman right now, that Ein Mekabel Nosso means that Ein Mekabel Nosso Bechlal, and if you want Mekabel, the Geirus is not Chal. Kabbalah Semitzvah, this is not a smorgasbord, this is not, you know, I like Chinese chicken, but I don't want sushi. It's everything, you got to eat everything. It's all Tariq Mitzvahs. If you start to make conditions and exceptions to the rule, that Apidid is not called Kabbalah Semitzvah. So a major Machlok, that's a major, major question, because Eliyahu Poskim, what is the definition of Kabbalah Semitzvah? Everyone's working with the assumption Kabbalah Semitzvah is critical, but we're not quite sure what is called Kabbalah Semitzvah. What's not called Kabbalah Semitzvah? Does Kabbalah Semitzvah require Kabbalah Kol HaMitzvahs? Can we get away with a little bit of Chutz B'Davarach?
And there's some machlokas for that, whether it's lechatchila or b'diavad, relevant to whether you derive naseh v'nishma, whether we use naseh v'nishma as a raya.
You mean what? Which way do you want to be relevant?
In other words, if naseh v'nishma is the raya, then it would be lechatchila, because it has to be everything.
No, then I'm saying b'diavad. It means if man of Klai's will have told the Rabbi Shalom at our Sinai, well, we'll take 611. That's what Esav said. That's what Yishmael said.
Right.
And the Rabbi Shalom said, no, we're going somewhere else.
Right.
So forget, if you're learning after Nasav and Ishba, so then maybe it has to be complete. Whereas if you hold like the Rambam, that it's almost like the definition of Geirus. So the definition of Geirus means you have to basically be living a Jewish lifestyle. A guy's, you know, not doing every mitzvah, still basically Jewish. Maybe, perhaps, I don't know. So again, so the starting point in all the Gdelei Poskim is that Avada Avada Kabbalah Semitzvah is Ma'akev, and now we're not quite sure about this fine-tuned point. At what point do we say something is called Kabbalah Semitzvah? At what point we say it's not called Kabbalah Semitzvah? So within this sugya of Kabbalah Semitzvah, particularly within the sugya of Chutz B'Davarechot, so Reb Chaim Oizer has a tremendous chiddush, and Shas Shimon Zachariah has a tremendous chiddush. But he writes that even according to the Machmirim, even assume he was not like the Machmirim, that you need Kabbalah's Kol HaMitzvahs, and if you start to make conditions, it's not Chal. Says Reb Chaim Oizer, what does it mean you start to make conditions? What if the guy comes forth and is like this? I really want to be Jewish, and I really, truly, honestly going to try to keep all 613 mitzvahs, but I said, I'm honest, I'm sincere and genuine. I'm telling you that I am probably going to talk Lashon Hara once in a while. I'm telling you that I may goof, and I may, I may end up doing this here and there. I'm telling you straightforward. I want to observe Lashon Hara, I want to observe the mitzvahs, but I may not succeed. My Yetzer Hara is going to take the best of me. I'm honest. I said, I like cheeseburgers every once in a while. I may fall prey to Yetzer Hara. So comes Reb Chaim Oizer and says, that's not called Chutz B'Davarecha. That's called the Kabbalah's Kol HaMitzvahs. That's a complete Kabbalah's HaMitzvahs. Why, says Reb Chaim Oizer? In other words, she asked Tavli Yechta. Everyone's Chayte. We are born Jewish, we're also Chayte. What does Chutz B'Davarecha mean? Chutz B'Davarecha means, man, the guy's coming to negotiate. He's like in the shuk. He says, let's make a deal. He says like this. No, listen. I like to speak Lashon Hara. That's my profession. I am I'm a reporter. I do that for Parnassa. So I want to speak Lashon Hara. Not all reporters do that. Some do. Some people are not reporters also do that. But, yeah. So my job is I'm going to speak Lashon Hara. So I'm telling you straightforward, I don't want to have a Mahi Cheshbon. When I come to David and Yom Kippur, I want to skip all those videos about Rechilus and Lashon Hara. That's not my religion. I'll cut down the David, like 3/4 of David. Most of the about Lashon Hara. So the guy says, I don't want to be bound. I don't want to walk around the guilty conscience. I don't want somebody pulling out a Shmir Saloshin at me and screaming at me and saying, you told Lashon Hara. I'm Jewish except for Hilchas Lashon Hara. I'm Jewish except for Hilchas going to shul, Hilchas not doing Malach on the first day of Pesach. I want to go to the ball game first day of Pesach. So I don't want to feel guilty about what I'm doing. Says Reb Chaim Oizer, that's called Chutz B'Davarecha. When you start to negotiate and saying, a mitzvah doesn't speak to you, a mitzvah doesn't speak to you, what does it doesn't speak to you? What kind of Judaism is that? Judaism is, again, it's not a smorgasbord, but of course all the mitzvahs speak to you. Whether you personally will stand up to the nisayon of observing a mitzvah, that's what they knew in the Rabban Shalom, so you're not going to be any different than any other Jew. Mishperecha, Lagia Garichem, all Jews, every once in a while we do a virus, so Geirim also do a virus, but as long as the person is not mishayim in the Geirus, so then the Geirus is going to be chal. That's Reb Chaim Oizer is a chiddush gom. But then Reb Chaim Oizer turns around on himself. He says, wait a second, how far does this go? This could go really, really far. So imagine a guy like this. A guy comes to the basin and says, listen, you know what, I really, really want to be Jewish, but I have to tell you honestly, I have a really, really serious yetzer to do one of the averes in the Torah. He's embarrassed to share it with us. What is it? I feel I have to be sach b'shem l'mishcha. I'm not going to be able to overcome that averes. So I'm going to shmir myself b'shem l'mishcha. It is a koreis, I know. And I'm not mishayim in the geiris. I'm not saying that I shouldn't be chayv koreis. I know I'm going to be chayv koreis. I realize that. But I want to be Jewish. I want to put on film. I want to keep Shabbos, kashrus, Pesach. I like all that. But I'm going to be sach b'shem l'mishcha every couple of weeks. So according to Chaim Eiser, you know, maybe it's not the best idea to be mishayim the guy. Maybe, but at the end of the day, that's called the kabbalah mitzvah. So now, the other fellow sitting in the next room, he's sitting in the waiting room with the geiris, and he hears that the rabbanim looked the other way for the guy who's sach b'shem l'mishcha. So the next guy walks in, and he says, I'm going to keep all the mitzvahs. I'm a kabbalah all of them. I'm going to clap al chet for all the aver. I'm going to kabbalah every single mitzvah, but I have another yetzar. My yetzar is, I'm a fatma sakatoris. Okay, so basically Muslims are doing, maybe. Okay. The third guy comes in and says, I have the same as my other guys, but I have three big yetzars. What are the big yetzars? I got to work on Shabbos. I got to make a parnas. I got to work on Shabbos. I like cheeseburgers. I don't like this you know, soy, make-believe hot fudge. I like the real McCoy with real cheese. It's going to be both b'chol deraisa. I only a makmatit mahadrin, so it's mahadrin meat with a chol yisrael, with a yoshin roll. Everything is mamish, and it's like a gavaldik, right? But I must eat cheeseburgers. And in addition, I'm not interested in kibbutz taras mishpacha. But I'm telling you, Rabbi, I understand that I'll be in Gehenna, they'll, you know, I'm going to be punished in the next world for all these averes. I'm not making that. I'm not like the fellow who came in last week and told you a story. He doesn't want to be bound by mitzvah. I want to be bound by, not the guy who doesn't want to be bound by Lashon Hara. I want to be in Shabbos, Kashas, Taras, Shabbos, but I don't personally want to keep them because I'm going to fall through the cracks. I have a big yitzhar in these areas. So Chaim Eiser turns around on himself and he says, according to what I just said, what should happen? Shema Kabbalim. At what point do we say that this is not basic Judaism with a little Yetzirah? At what point do we say the Yetzirahs are so blatant, are so loud, are so screaming that it's not Judaism anymore? For a guy to come forward and say, I want to be Jewish, but I want to be Mechal Shabbos. I want to be Jewish and not Ikosh. I want to be Jewish and not Taras HaMishpacha. So that's secular Judaism. That's not Judaism anymore. That's what the Rambam said. That's not the Stof of Tachtash. That's not the Kabbalah of a Mitzvah. So even Rav Chaim Eiser agrees that you have to reach a certain point where it's not a Chutz B'Davar Echad. It's not a chutz b'davar echad in the sense of a yetzahara. It's so chutz b'davar machadim that the whole thing becomes mamash d'var b'tayim. The whole thing is not called geiris anymore. So if you look at the shuvah of Chaim Eiser, he doesn't spell out everything that I'm saying. I'm reading in between the lines. I'm asking, I'm reading between the lines. But there's no other way to read it. Because he starts to give you the example. He thrusts, comes forward with his big thrust, his big chiddush of chutz b'davar echad. And then he backtracks immediately and he says, but if the person says, chutz b'shabbos, kashrus, etc., it's bar mitzvah. The whole gerus is bar mitzvah. What was bothering, it's clear from the context, what was bothering Chaim Eiser was at some point, it's no longer just the yetzirah. At some point, it's undermining what the essence of Judaism is. V'shteit, Shabbos, kashrus, tas, mishpacha, are the defining features. So, l'chora, the answer is, that's a lashon many other. That, ultimately, if you have to describe a person, he's a shomer Torah mitzvah. So the first thing you ask is he sach b'shem l'mishcha? No. Is he mefatel the Torah? No. Those are not the first things. Usually the defining feature is either he's part of shmiras Torah v'mitzvahs, is he shomer Shabbos, is he kosher, life goes to mikvah. But the answer to those three questions are in the affirmative, so then he's basically shomer Torah v'mitzvahs. Okay, so it could be that maybe his wife is not dressed in Sotzenua. It could be that maybe he's going on vacations that he shouldn't be going to. It could be he doesn't have an minyan all the time. It could be he misses about Kriya Shema on Sunday. Those are all possible. And we're not advocating those lifestyle. But at the end of the day, you know, he's still living a basic, you know, fundamentally basic Torah observant lifestyle. Once those three biggies are gone, so then he's a secular Jew. There's no such thing as a religious Jew without Shabbos, without Kashrus, Taras, Mishpachas. It doesn't register in that scale. So that's the pashas of what Chaim Eiser was saying. So again, Chaim Eiser was a big chiddush. It's a big chiddush to Kula, but then he pulls it right out from under us. Rav Moshe didn't buy into this whole story. Moshe was downright didn't buy into this whole story. Rav Moshe understood that chutz b'davar echad means it. It means it literally, and it's going to be ma'akev in the geiris. And then Rav Moshe says, Davar Pashat, that it doesn't make a difference why it's chutz b'davar echad. Whether it's chutz b'davar echad because he wants a freebie not to do it, or whether it's chutz b'davar echad because he has the yetzahara. If at the end of the day he's chutz b'davar echad, it's chutz b'davar echad. Now again, Rav Moshe also understood that people are chayte. Rav Moshe knew that geirim are going to be chayte later on. It's like the guy on Yom Kippur. Guys, if I would stop you and ask you on by Ne'ilah on Yom Kippur, are you really honestly Makabel? You're going to really daven Betty. You're really going to learn Betty. You're not going to speak Lashon Hara. You really, in the heart and soul, you're Makabel. You really, really, you're really honestly goodness going to try. Shlo Echta Oid, you're really going to try. At the end of the day, down the line, 6 months, is going to be one time that you may lose your Kavan and Tefillah, possibly, maybe, could be. Is one word of Lashon Hara going to slip out in the next 12 months? Maybe, could be. But that doesn't detract from your Kabbalah. Your Kabbalah was sincere. Says Rav Moshe, the person has to come to us as a ger and say, listen, I am really honest, the goodness is going to keep the entire existence. Now, I'm going to do it. I'm not telling you any Yitzhar. I'm going to do it. If the Gloy Milson 6 months from now that he slips up on something, okay, so he's still Jewish, and other mitzvahic parts should ask the tevla yechta. But if the person mitchila tells us, Rabbi, either I don't want to be bound by Shabbos, or he tells you pemole, I'm not going to keep Shabbos, or he tells you pemole, I'm not going to keep bas b'chav. He tells you pemole, I'm going to be mufater as a keteres. If he tells you pemole, I don't care what his reason is, whether he's Yetzirah, whether he's not Bikurvus, whether he has, I don't care what his agenda is, if he tells you Pemol, he's not going to do mitzvahs, so even one mitzvah is going to affect the entire Gerus. You can't have a Gerus, this is a Gerus of Chatzorim, says Rav Moshe, and Rav Moshe didn't buy into Rav Chaim, and he says Chilik between the Teyavon versus not the Teyavon. But then Rav Moshe raises a point, which is going to become a very, very critical point. We'll start a little bit now, but I have to continue it next week. The Maisha dealt with the following Shabbos, Maisha Shoya, Mamash Maisha Shoya, that opens up for us very, very serious ramifications in terms of those games. There was a woman who contacted the Maisha. She was like in tears. She was like very, very distraught. She told over the following story to her Maisha. He relates the story, obviously, without the name. It relates the story in Tshuva, that the woman had converted many years before. And she had converted right before Shavuot. The spirit of Kulas HaTorah. But at the time that she had converted, she had a job, and she knew that her boss would not let her take off on Yom Tov. She knew that mitchila. And she knew when she converted that she was planning on going to work at Shavuos. She didn't tell the Rabbanim that. If she would have told the Dayanim that, they would have said, so let's wait 2 weeks. Go to work. Convert you on Yisuchak. But I guess they had the whole gear ceremony, the whole party was all planned for Kabbalah Satayra, the cheesecake, the whole 9 yards. So she wanted to be Magai. In her heart of heart, she knew that she was going to go to work. And she was really, really good about it. She tells over the story that I walked to work and I tried really hard not to write. And whatever she was at, whatever thing she did, the Issa, the Het, whatever it was. But she really, really. 30 years later, she's married already with kids. 30 years later, she must have gone to a Shia somewhere, and somebody talked about a person converts chutz midavar echad. If a person converts, not completely sincere, if there's missing something that may undermine the entire gerus. So she's kefelech, distraught through Moshe. Medina Rabbeinu, we're not Jewish, my kids, our whole family's there. Because 30 years ago I had in mind when I was Magai, I was going to work on Shavuos, I didn't tell the Rabbanim. Does that undermine the entire gerus? So what would you think about that child? So Reb Chaim Moshe would be the first one to say, come on, of course she's Jewish. Because the worst it was the Yetzer Hara. So at Haraya, you can't say about her that she's not sincere. You can't say about her that she's not wanting to come to her. Even when she went to work, she walked to work. Even when she went to work, she wrote Kalechiyak. She's obviously trying to do her best not to do Malacha. So she's not undermining the entire religion. So it was clearly, that's like the Mephazim of Zechatarius, that it was done Derech Teyav and the Yetzer Hara. It's not a big deal. She had the Yetzer Hara because she didn't want to lose her job. But, so according to Reb Chaim Moshe, it's not a Shah. The Vada, the Geirus is good. What about according to Reb Moshe? According to Moshe Gaval, according to Moshe, who was machmer in all the shadows, he said, "Kabbalah Sivitz is ma'akev d'yevin avada, and chutz b'davrecha is ma'akev d'yevin, and chutz b'davrecha even means derech te'avon." So according to Moshe, Medina Rabbeinu, she's not Jewish. So Moshe said, "Chalila v'chalila, avada, she's Jewish, 100% Jewish." You know why? Says Moshe, "Devarim shebelev, enim devarim." When the Dayanim asked her at the mikvah, "Are you makabel ala mitzvahs?" What was her answer? Absolutely. They asked her, you going to keep Shabbos and Yom Tov? Absolutely. She had her fingers crossed behind her back. Are you going to go Taras Tamishpa? Absolutely. You're going to keep absolutely. Every answer she answered, between most genuine, sincere, at least from the perception of the Dayanim. Now the truth is that if we could have read her mind at the time, we would have seen flashing in front of her mind and our brain is planning on going to work next week on first day Shavuot. Sorry. Says Rav Moshe, that's Dvarim Shel Lev, that's the Gemara in Kedushin, not from Tess. I sell your land, and I'm planning on going to Eretz Yisrael, I didn't bother telling anybody. We signed the contract. It doesn't say anything. I didn't say a word, not written, not oral, nothing. What do we say? What does the lawyer say? Dvarim Tlevin and Dvarim Tzvarim B'Talim. We don't accept that. Comes with motion and says, Dvarim Tlevin and Dvarim. Nufus Geirus also. The person said the Makabel. We had no reason to believe otherwise. Whatever they were thinking is Dvarim B'Talim, and the Geirus is Chal B'Dievet. The person is 100% Jewish. No ands, ifs, and buts. So interesting that Reb Chaim Oizer disagreed with that Nekudah Ramosha. Chaim Oizer before Ramosha. I mean, they overlap together, but Reb Chaim Oizer wouldn't have written this Tshuva. You know why? Because Reb Chaim Oizer happens to say in Hukhas Geirus that Dvarim Shulevi and Dvarim doesn't apply to Kabbalah and Mitzvahs. You know why? Dvarim Shulevi and Dvarim means when a chalos is done through a maisa, so then Dvarim Shulevi doesn't affect that maisa. But Kabbalah and Mitzvahs is belief. The way you makabel mitzvahs is belief. So what is Dvarim Shulevi and Dvarim? You split your heart? Means the Kabbalah, it's not a Dibur HaMitzvah, it's Kabbalah HaMitzvah. So a Kabbalah HaMitzvah, if it's not sincere, you can't turn around and say Kabbalah HaMitzvah is Dvarim Shablevin and Dvarim. The whole notion of Dvarim Shablevin and Dvarim doesn't make any sense in Kabbalah HaMitzvah. But the good news for this woman is that according to Reb Chaim Oizer, what? She's Jewish anyway. Why? She's Jewish anyway because of the Yetzer Hara story. So, Bein Lefir Moshe, Bein Lefir Moshe, but you're in Vilna on the Lower East Side, the woman's Jewish. So we could breathe a sigh of relief, this woman is 100% Jewish, but two G'dayla G'ayne Eilim had different ways of understanding wherein lies the lack of chisaron of Kabbalah Mitzvahs. Is it because it's Derech Yetzer Hara, or is it because it's Hilchos Dvarim Shebelev? Of course, Reb Moshe opens us up, that's probably going to ask me, right? Is that Reb Moshe opens up for the following scenario. Whoa, is this a whoa? A person comes forward and says, I want to be Jewish. And we say to them, are you Mekabel all the mitzvahs? The person says, absolutely, Rabbi, whatever you say. The Sabbath, the kosher, not even kosher style, the real thing. My wife's going to go to the mikvah, everything. The guy's lying, mamash to his teeth. He's going to Shabbos, going to Kashrus, going to Shabbos. The whole thing is Dvarim, but tell you that. So Reb Moshe, Dvarim Shebelev and Dvarim. So Reb Moshe has many tshuvas addressing that and showing why that would be an incorrect application of Dvarim Shebelev and Dvarim. So hopefully that's next week. We'll continue with that point. Why, according to Reb Moshe, opened up this possibility that could destroy all of Hilchos Geirus, and Reb Moshe very, very quickly closes the door on that possibility. Hopefully that's next week.